Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He's live. He's nationwide on CBS Sports Radio. This is the Zach Gelb Show. Here's your host, Zach Gelb.
Live from the place of yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome, 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 everybody, to a Monday edition of the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio across your local CBS Sports Radio affiliate, SiriusXM, Channel 206, and the radio.com application. Number to join us, as always, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. A whole lot for you to talk about today and for us to talk about today during the next 4 hours of our radio show. You can always interact with us as well on the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Also on our networks account, at CBS Sports Radio. Got Tom DiBenedetto here with me, Mikey B, Mike Biseglia as well, and we're all coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams, and for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Coming up in an hour and 20 minutes, former CBS Sports Radio host, now does a great job covering college football on the TV side for CBS. Brian Jones is going to join us to preview the national championship game between Clemson and LSU. When I woke up this morning, I was trying to think about the show and what we were going to talk about. Because usually you would think it's a layup or you put a ball right on the tee and it's very easy to hit the golf ball 300 yards for some of you, or put the ball on the tee and hit a home run out of the park. When you're thinking, okay, you're coming off a divisional weekend where you have the magic storylines of Tennessee once again going into Foxborough winning, and then this past week going into Baltimore, the defense playing well on fourth and one, Derrick Henry running wild, Ryan Tannehill being aggressive after the first fourth and one stop, Tennessee moving on to the AFC Championship game. So you thought you could probably go there. You could also go with the Houston and Kansas City angle. 24-0, Houston goes into Kansas City, they're up. It looks like, once again, you're going to have an epic collapse by this Chiefs team where it was their year. You have the Pats out, you have the Ravens out. All they have to do is just get to the AFC title game. You're going to be having Tennessee next week. You just have to beat Houston. And then from being down 24-0, where it looked as bad as it could be, within a blink of an eye, the Kansas City Chiefs come back, and not only come back and take the lead going into halftime, they also covered the 10.9.5-point spread, which is the most ridiculous thing that maybe you'll ever see in the gambling world, where a team is down 24 points. 24 points. It's 24-0. They need to win the game by 10 points, and they do so very easily, winning the football game 51-31. So maybe we thought we could start there, or you go with Green Bay and Seattle, the aftermath with those two third down conversions, the second one being controversial. Did Jimmy Graham get it? Did Jimmy Graham not get it? How about the TV angles and all that? You know, Minnesota, San Francisco, we would get to you too, because that was a game where Minnesota, when they had an opportunity coming off the interception, they settled for a field goal to make it 14-10. I thought that was a big point in the game. And then you also would go on to have Richard Sherman get an interception, and then the 49ers were able to cash on it, and they won that game going away 27-10. So I thought with all that we had on the plate in front of us, we'll find an element. We'll find a way to make the NFL lead. But if we didn't want to go with the NFL, college football, it's a national championship game tonight. LSU undefeated, Clemson undefeated, Dabo Sweeney, Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow, Ed Orgeron. There has to be something there, right, to make it into the first segment of the show. And then I got a text at about 1:30. And this is really what decided what the lead was going to be. At about 1:30, we're in a little group text, myself, Uber Eats, Mr. Mikey B, and Tom DiBenedetto with all of his flaming hot takes. So we're all in this group text. And I get this text as we're going over the audio, we're going over the show topics. I get this text from Tom DiBenedetto that said, Astros punishment about to come on down. And I was on the train at 1:30 because I spent the weekend out with my parents on Long Island, had a delicious dinner last night, by the way. Some lobster ravioli, some lamb chops, a nice little salad, and some asparagus. So I was eating well while watching the game. So I got up this morning, you know, help the parents out with what they needed at the house, and then was making my way back in. And I get that text on the train at 1:30, and I'm just pulling into Penn Station. I take a subway about 15 minutes from Penn Station. And I go, I must get to my apartment right away because I want to be able to follow all this stuff on the computer, on the television, do all that, and be sitting down while this news does come down. And then we around, it must have been, 1:45, 2 o'clock, we get the breaking news alert from Jeff Passan of ESPN, who says that the Houston Astros have been hit with the suspension and punishment. Going back to the cheating scandal, it was a $5 million fine for the organization, loss of a first-round pick and a second-round draft pick in 2020 and 2021. And, oh, yeah, by the way, there's a one-year ban for their general manager in Jeff Luhnow and then also for their manager in A.J. Hinch. And when the punishment hit, my first reaction was, that's a fair punishment. You're never going to appease everybody. There's always a part of people on social media that even when a punishment I think is significant, they go, we want more. We want blood. We have to make sure that the manager and the president and the general manager, they never be involved in baseball again. But for the most part, I thought baseball dropped the hammer on the Astros, and I thought they got it right. And then you find out that there's going to be a press conference with the Astros owner in Jim Crane. So when you hear that there's going to be a press conference, you start to say, okay, this is going to be exciting, but it's just going to be him talking about the punitive actions that were levied against his organization. And then right at the top of the press conference, he makes it clear that not only have Jeff Luhnow and A.J. Hinch been hit with the one-year ban, but he elected to fire both A.J. Hinch and Jeff Luhnow. And I thought the biggest part in his press conference was when he said, and this was Jim Crane speaking, neither one of them started this, but neither one of them did anything about it. Because you read all these reports, and you hear about the involvement of the players, you hear about the involvement of Alex Cora, too, and if you're a Red Sox fan, Alex Cora may not be your manager for that much longer. Because if these guys were hit with a one-year suspension and everything's making it out to be that Cora was one of the biggest players in this entire situation, I don't think it's going to look all that well. And we'll see how the Red Sox do react to that. And also, they have their own scandal as well after the entire Astros situation. So we'll get to the Cora element in just a second. But I thought that quote from Crane was right on the money. Because you read all the 9-page letter that was sent out by Commissioner Rob Manfred, and you hear about how A.J. Hinch, well, he didn't know about it at first. It frustrated him. It made him upset. Where at a point, he was so irate about the entire situation that he smashed two of the monitors. Well, you're the manager of the team. You're not a bench coach. You're not a first base coach. You're not the bullpen coach. You're the manager of the team. If you wanted this to stop A.J. Hinch, you could have went up to your players and said, we are not doing this. You could have went up to Alex Cora, who works for you, and say, Alex, I love you, but this is over. This is not happening. Maybe he thought his message would resonate just by smashing the TVs, but if this really did upset him so much, he could have put an end to it, and he didn't. And I know Jeff Luhnow just released a statement right now, which, by the way, Jeff, and I've had Jeff on the show before going back to the weekend overnights, and how about Jeff Luhnow too? Jeff Luhnow goes from, remember when the Greinke trade was made? When the Greinke trade was made right before the deadline, it was, look what Jeff Luhnow has done acquiring Gerrit Cole, Justin Verlander, and Zach Greinke. They're going to win their second World Series championship. And I remember doing a sportsman on this. I remember saying, if they find a way to win this World Series this year, statues are going to be built of Jeff Luhnow. How quickly, though, that thought has evaporated. Because not only did they lose the World Series, they had this cheating scandal. And, oh, yeah, let's not forget about the Brandon Taubman situation, the AGM at the time, and how Luhnow handled that with the disgraceful press conference that he gave, where he didn't even apologize to the reporter after all that situation did go down with Brandon Taubman going back to the Asuna and how Taubman handled himself after going back to the World Series. So you had all this craziness going on with the Astros. And you have A.J. Hinch, who I don't know if there's – I don't think there'll be sympathy for A.J. Hinch. I was talking about this with BT in our little crossover on the way out. And BT said he thinks Hinch will manage again. And I don't disagree with them necessarily. Because another organization, if they think A.J. Hinch is this great manager, they'll give him a try after a year, after 2 years, or whatever it will be. And we'll have to see. But A.J. Hinch, they made him out to be as if he knew nothing about this. And the same could be said for Luhnow too. But do you really believe it? Because for A.J. Hinch, even though he didn't orchestrate it and Jeff Luhnow didn't orchestrate it, can you believe that neither one of them didn't know all the details of what was going on? Hinch was smashing two televisions. And then for Luhnow, I'm just thinking about for example, where we work here at CBS Sports Radio. Let's just say if even on the weekend, someone smashed two televisions. Don't you think eventually our bosses would hear about that? Don't you think David Mayernick and Mark Chernoff would hear about Zach Gelb smashing two televisions because he was upset with some of the protocols that were going on here at CBS Sports Radio? They would absolutely hear it. So Luhnow releases this statement saying that he's not a cheater, he accepts responsibility, blah, blah, blah. Anybody that's worked with him during his 32-year career inside and outside of baseball can attest to his integrity and all that. But once again, your owner said, yes, neither of them started it, but neither one of them did anything about it. And that's what it comes back down to. Sure, A.J. Hinch may not have been the one, and it doesn't appear that he was the one that orchestrated this scheme. So would Jeff Luhnow. But you can't tell me that Jeff Luhnow knew nothing about this. And then how about Luhnow too, where he throws the players, and this is why I don't think Luhnow will be a general manager again, even though he's very bright. But what I don't think he'll be another general manager or president of baseball operations again is right away in this statement to try to make himself look innocent. He says, the sign-stealing initiative was not planned or directed by baseball management. The trash can banging was driven and executed by players, and the video decoding of signs originated and was executed by lower-level employees working with the bench coach. You threw your lower-level employees under. This guy that's running the team. You threw your lower-level employees under the bus. You threw your players under the bus. And then you threw Alex Cora under the bus. So who's going to be able to trust you? That's my question. Even though he's a very bright baseball mind, you bring him into your organization, and maybe there's a team one day that says, you know what? We saw the success. We saw the way that he builds with the Astros. Let's bring him in. We need a life support. We're on life support. We need a lifesaver. So let's bring in Luhnow. Why would any player respect him? Why would any manager or bench coach respect him? And also, there has to be culpability on Luhnow because he's in charge of everyone. And you can make the same case also with Jim Crane, that there's some culpability on the owner too. Did he really not know anything about this? So you raise your eyebrow a lot about many situations here. The bottom line is Hinch out of a job, Luhnow out of a job, and if I'm Alex Cora, I'm not feeling so safe right now either, because they expect that his punishment is going to be severe, and it would not surprise me. That's the thing with the Red Sox. Are they going to move on now and get ahead of this, or they're going to wait to see what happens with the investigation. We'll have to see. And the guy that skates for you through all this is Carlos Beltran, the new manager of the Mets, which actually may end up being a punishment, and that's coming from a Mets fan. But Beltran is now manager of the Mets, and because he was a player, they did not punish any players in this entire situation. So this whole thing is wild, and I never would have thought when I woke up on Monday morning that we were going to be leading with a national championship game tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern with a divisional weekend in the books that we'd be talking baseball right now. And it wouldn't surprise me if baseball said, yeah, we know the results of the investigation, but let's wait until Monday. Let's wait until Monday to try to steal some of that thunder and get all these talking heads promoting our game and talking about our game. Because even sometimes with negativity, there a lot of times isn't any bad publicity. And in this case, baseball and Rob Manfred looks very positive with the way they dropped the hammer. And now it's a huge talking point because there's scandal and there's controversy right now in baseball. And one more thing on this before we take a break. Anyone that is imploring baseball or begging baseball or demanding that the championship be vacated, just stop it. That is the thing that drives me insane. NCAA, some kid takes money or some kid finds a way to sign some autographs. Oh, let's vacate the championship. Let's take the banner down and pretend like it never happened. We're not stupid. We know these things happen. So anyone that's trying to say we should take away the Astros championship, just stop. Baseball has been filled with cheating for a long time. We're going to then have to vacate a lot of championships. How about any player that ever played in the steroid era? Let's take away all those championships too. So can we please stop with the vacating of championships? But this is such a big story. And this is really baseball dropping the hammer and sending a message. That's what it is. They're sending a message. You want to steal signs and use technology with it? You're going to think twice. You're going to think long and hard because not only did Luno and AJ Hinch get suspended for a year, but now they're out of jobs as well. How do you react to the Astros cheating situation and the actions that were handed down by baseball? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. It's the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. Give us a call right now, 855-212-4CBS. You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
That's right. You are listening to the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio. And CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. It's easy. So we're talking about this Astros scandal. Coming off divisional weekend, also national championship game tonight. Brian Jones going to join us coming up in about 55 minutes as we'll get his take on the game, who he thinks is going to win between LSU and Clemson. As LSU, with Ed Orgeron and Joe Burrow trying to cap off a year that is really, with the way that Burrow and Orgeron have performed this year, I didn't see it coming. Especially when you look at what Burrow was this time last year. But maybe one guy that did see it coming was actually Brian Jones. Because I remember he told me, and we'll bring this up to BJ when he joins us. I remember he told me right before the start of the college football season that the SEC West was going to be won by LSU. So he saw something that LSU team before the start of the season. And then for Clemson, it's a historical thing. Three championships in 4 years. If you get the victory tonight, victories we're talking about. And you're looking to go back-to-back undefeated national champions with what happened last year with Trevor Lawrence and then what's happening this year as well. And a lot of people started to forget about Clemson. We knew they were going to be there, but a lot of people started to stop taking Clemson so seriously. It's some people nationally because of what happened against UNC. Remember when Mack Brown elected to go for two? It was the right decision, just the wrong play call. And after that, everyone said, oh, yeah, they're going to be there, but we don't really take them seriously. I was never one of those people. Because you have Dabo Swinney in a big game, I would never count them out of a big game with what he's been able to do up against Alabama. And especially, I know Lawrence got off to a shaky start the first few games of the season, but ever since then, he's been lights out. So I wasn't going to be the one that did count out Clemson. I expect us to have a unbelievable championship game. I would really be disappointed if we're not coming on here tomorrow talking about how we had like a 38-31 type of game. I expect this to be a really good game tonight, and I'll give you my prediction later on in the show on who I think is going to win. Hey, here's another note, though, with this whole Astros situation. As we did discuss how Jeff Luhnow, year suspension, Astros fire him. A.J. Hinch, year suspension, Astros fire him. Alex Cora, it's right around the corner for him. He's going to be hit with the very severe punishment, and he may lose his job. Carlos Beltran, now that's the interesting one to me, because Beltran was involved in this, but as a player. And MLB made it clear that they're not punishing players, where I understand it, and I like it, and then there's part of me that doesn't like it as well. Because if you're baseball, and let's say on this team, let's just throw a number out there that 15 out of the 25 guys on the roster knew about it. And 15 out of the 25 were using this. Or even if it's 9 or 10. Are you really going to pop 9, 10 players for an 80-game suspension, 60-game suspension? And you're going to completely dismantle that team if you do that. And if you do so, you make one of your teams irrelevant. Even though you lose a manager, even though you lose your general manager, two important figures in the organization, this team could still be good next year because the players didn't get hit with anything. And you notice today, everyone, when they mention the players, is talking about Beltran, who is now a manager with the New York Mets. So it's almost as if the MLB said, we're going to adopt the NBA approach, where we're going to let the players get away with a little bit more, and we're going to hold the coaches and the general managers and the owners to a higher standard. Because if MLB did come in here and drop the hammer on the players too, it's bad for the game. It would be bad for the game. And you know, I was throwing that around the office a little bit with the local feel with FAN and then us here nationally at CBS Sports Radio. And almost everyone was saying, no, goodbye the MLB for not getting the players punished. But if the players were part of this scheme, which everything, you know, accounts that it was them and Cora that was pretty much starting this, doesn't there have to be some action for them as well in a negative way? But with how many players it is, it's almost as if the MLB said, we're going to be okay with that. Because it's almost better for the sport if the Astros are a story this year and if they do have success on the field. So I just found that very interesting. It's almost as if Beltran took the pop and took the hit for all the players at an exchange for his name being released publicly and him not losing his job or facing any suspension in his new comfy job as the manager of the New York Mets. So that's what they appeared to do here. They told Hinch and they told Luhnow, you guys may not have started this, but you are the two most influential people in that organization, independent to the owner. A.J. Hinch, even though you seem apologetic in your explanation and in our conversation and the investigation, you smashed two TVs. You could have told your players to stop it. You could have told Alex Cora to stop it. Jeff Luhnow, you could say that you had no knowledge about it. You could say that you weren't a cheater. Things did go on in your organization with people you hired. That's on you. And they put the blame on a manager and a president of baseball operations who were very successful, very great at their job, but at the end of the day, even as important they are replaceable. The players, you can't replace the players this late in the game. Remember, it's January 13th. Pitchers and catchers are right around the corner. You can't just find 8, 9 players to replace them with, or 7 players, whatever it is, and just quickly find them and expect to have a competitive team this year. So baseball had a decision to make. They could have hit the players hard in a suspension here, but for the players' interview and for the players being honest, and you read that Beltran was all telling and all that, the players got off the hook here, and they decided to drop the hammer on the general manager and then also the manager of the team as well. And then Crane took it a step further by firing them both from their job. So very fascinating day for baseball. A very fascinating day for baseball and an extremely memorable day for baseball. And if the Astros, can they still have success? Yeah, I do think they can still have success this year. And they're going to have to find the manager. They're going to have to find a new general manager. Maybe some of that does come in-house. But overall, this is a team that they still have very productive players, whether it's Springer, whether it's Altuve, whether it's Correa. So they could still be competitive. And for baseball, if you have them as a story this year, it's going to create a lot of buzz for the sport, not only because of what happened with the punishment, but if they could overcome this and get back into the postseason, which is definitely very possible, it continues to give legs to baseball on a national scene. 855-212-4CBS. Let me squeeze in here. Gunner listening on 96.5 FM in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. He's next up on CBS Sports Radio. Gunner?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, hey, how you doing tonight?
Doing great. What you got for me?
Everything you said is fascinating and great and to the point. I agree with what baseball did with the manager and general manager and chief of operations and what the owner for the Astros did. That's commendable. But I still feel now suspending the baseball players, you're right, you'll decimate the team totally. But you got to hit these players where it counts, in their pocketbook. And Beltran coming off as a scapegoat. Now, I'm a diehard Mets fan for years. You know, what kind of a message are you, sending? It's like it's contradicting itself. It's driving me up the wall.
Well, the message they're sending, and I appreciate the phone call, is that, yes, players can have an idea. Players can even start up this scheme. But there's enough systems of checks and balances in the organization where the people that are in charge of running the team, whether it's the manager who's responsible for the players or the general manager, president of baseball operations that's in charge of the entire organization, they could have done enough and baseball wasn't buying. Even though they didn't start it, they didn't know about it fully. More so on Luno, because with Hinch, even though he didn't start about it, he did know of it when he smashed the two monitors as well. They knew enough where you have employees of that team where they could have put an end to it because they're in a bigger position of power than those players. So that's the decision baseball made, that the general manager and the manager let the players get away with it and didn't do enough. So baseball and elected in return said, all right, we're going to pop the manager and we're going to suspend the general manager and the players are going to get off because they were allowed to do this because no one above them in a higher authority elected to put an end to it. So that's the way baseball explains it. In my opinion, that's the way I at least read it. And also, if you take these players off the field, with how many hitters there are on a team and batters there are on a team, you're going to completely ruin an organization and a franchise. So you have to find a way to find a middle meeting point. And I guess it was Beltran's the one that's going to be lambasted publicly because he was involved in it, as should he. And the rest of the players then get off. And in return, Beltran also doesn't get suspended and gets to keep his job right now with the New York Mets. So that's where the systems of checks and balances, I guess, from the baseball side really did work. And also for baseball, you don't want to find a way to completely take away the Astros from being competitive this year because it's not good for the sport. When we return on CBS Sports Radio, it is the Zach Gelb Show. Bill O'Brien should be sending the Astros a big thank you. We'll talk about that. Also delve into the controversial third and long play in the Seahawks and Packers game. We'll get all that on the other side. And Brian Jones going to join us, of course, coming up at 7:20 p.m. Eastern.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
I felt like I had a first down there, and when I didn't, I just felt like we didn't have a great play there for the fourth down at that point in time. So I felt like it was better to kick the three, but that's, a very fair question. But I felt like it was just better to kick the field goal there.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Bill O'Brien is in his local supermarket right now as we speak, and he's getting all the fine chocolates. And he's getting all the roses. And he's getting a bouquet of roses for Jeff Luno. And he's getting two boxes of chocolates for A.J. Hinch. And then he's also sending some wine. We've got a big wine theme. He's sending the finest bottle of wine to Rob Manfred. Because if you're a Houston sports fan, and what happened on Sunday, you're ready to wake up on Monday and call your local radio station, call your national radio station, and start to say, Bill O'Brien, he's terrible. What is he doing? How do you blow a 24-0 lead in a blink of an eye? It wasn't as if you got your heart ripped out in the second half and in the fourth quarter when the Chiefs took that lead. In the second quarter, that game was over. It was done. I was watching the game with my old man, and at first I go, I'm an idiot. I started tweeting Gus Frerotte. I said, oh, heart picks are terrible. They're terrible, Gus. What are we doing? Because he beat me the night before, Frerotte, and the Tennessee game. He plus the points with Tennessee. I minus the points with Baltimore. And then we were both on Kansas City minus the 10, minus the 9.5 points, whatever it was. And I'm sitting there when it's 24-0, and I'm laughing. Because the reason I was laughing, what is Andy Reid, who I thought going into the weekend was going to win the Super Bowl this year? I mean, we all said it on the show. He's going to win the Super Bowl this year. And I'm sitting there laughing. And I'm saying, what is it going to take for Andy Reid to win a Super Bowl? Because this situation was placed for him perfectly. New England, done in the AFC. Before they even played on Sunday, Baltimore, done in the AFC. You get the bye in week 17 when Fitzmagic was sensational down the stretch up against the Patriots. Kevin Harlan calling two games at once. And you're going to be getting an AFC home championship game for the second year in a row. And all you have to do is go out and defeat the Houston Texans, who aren't a team. They're carried off of Deshaun Watson and his great play. Deshaun Watson puts that team on his back with DeAndre Hopkins week in and week out. And they're up 24-0, and KC is down 24-0. And at that point, there's a few turning points. We brought you in with O'Brien discussing the decision to kick the field goal. I was in the minority of this, but I didn't think that was an awful decision. Now, don't get me wrong. There was part of me saying, go for it, go for it, go for it. But when you elect to kick the field goal there to go up 24-0, even though you could say you should be aggressive, try to go up 28-0, that's not the reason why they lost the game. Because they made the field goal, it's 24-0. Then you allow the Hardman long return, they get a touchdown, it's 24-7. Still at 24-7, even with how much respect we have for Kansas City, there is no need to panic. No need to panic. And Bill O'Brien, he panicked. Now, the decision on the field goal, before we get to where he panicked, on the field goal, we bring you in with what he had to say about that play. Once again, I don't kill you for kicking the field goal there, but your explanation was horrible. That is what we'll be critical of. Your explanation was embarrassing. We didn't have a great play call there. You're the head football coach. You're the offensive guru. You're the man that's running the entire team when you shouldn't be pretty much the general manager because your coaching record isn't good enough. And you're telling me with all those decisions that you make year in and year out in a 20-25 second time difference, you can't figure up a great play call on 4th and 1? How difficult is it? How difficult is it? Run the football. Or you keep the ball in Deshaun Watson's hands and you let him decide if he wants to throw it or run it with some crossing routes, or you can elect him to take off and go. How difficult is that? You know, there's sometimes where being a football coach is very difficult. Let's not undermine and demean the position, but it's 4th and 1. What are your play calls on 4th and 1? Well, you either run up the middle, you run in between the guard and the tackle, or you roll out with your quarterback. So don't tell me you could not come up with the great play call in that spot. And if you think you got the first down, instead of taking a timeout there, why don't you challenge it? Because if you challenge a spot in that situation and you lose, well, guess what? You lose a timeout instead of taking a timeout and then electing to kick the field goal. So once again, it wasn't the decision that I had a problem with to kick the field goal in that spot. It was the explanation afterwards. Oh, we kicked the field goal because we didn't have a great play call. Well, if that's the case, you should be fired. If you can't come up with the play call and you wanted to go for it on 4th and 1 and you can't come up with not even a great play call, but an above average play call, you should lose your job. But you're not going to lose your job because you're under contract until you're 2022. But that is laughable. That is comical. That you cannot come up with a great play call there. That's embarrassing. So he takes the field goal, 24-0. You have the Hardman return. They get a touchdown. It's 24-7. Now, here is the part that I don't get. And let's first give credit to Sorensen. Sorensen made a heck of a play. But if you weren't going to be aggressive enough to go for it at 24-0, why does your thinking change, or 21-0 at the time, to make it 24-0? Why does your thinking change that quickly at 24-7? When it's 4th and 4 and you're not at Kansas City's 31, you're at your own 31. Why would you even risk giving Mahomes a short field in a game that you got some bounces, but in a game that you were up and in control? And you run a fake punt? That's what you do? And the crazy part is it almost worked, but Sorensen made a heck of a play. But that decision to run a fake punt was dumb. It was dumb to run a fake punt there. And then the next thing you know, you have Kansas City down 24-14 after the fake punt because you gave them a short field, and this is where the game ended. Even though it didn't give them a lead, the game ended on that kickoff return that was fumbled, and then eventually they scored a touchdown. When it's 24-21, even though Kansas City's still down 3, it was over. That game was over. And the question I had was, are they going to cover the number of 10? And not only did they cover it, they made it laughable. They went on a 51-7 run. 51-7. You can't do that in Madden. I don't care if you're the greatest sitcom writer alive. You can't write a script that says, they're going to go down 24-0. Then the team that was down 24-0 is going to take the lead into halftime and go on to blow out the team and go on a 51-7 run. You can't write that script. You could be the most clairvoyant person in America. You would have never even came within 200 yards of predicting what that outcome would be when it was 24-0. So that is an embarrassing moment for O'Brien. Not the decision to go for the field goal, but the explanation after the game. And then that fake punt was a joke and was a complete and utter disgrace. But Bill O'Brien should be thanking the Astros, because the big topic today is not Bill O'Brien and the collapse. And now Andy Reid sitting there and having an opportunity to finally win a Super Bowl, to make a career that's been great in the regular season, great in the postseason, and eliminate years and years and years of shortcomings in the postseason. No, that's not the story today. The story are the Houston Astros. And locally in Houston, you go from, and if you're a Houston sports fan, oh, that's got to be tough. You blow a 24-0 lead, where if you would have won that game, you're having a home AFC championship game against a divisional rival in the Tennessee Titans. You go from that being a big black eye to now your president of baseball operations / general manager's out of a job, and your manager's out of the job, and your organization got hit with the $5 million fine and a loss of draft picks and the first and second round for the next 2 years. Man, that's a tough pill to swallow. But if you're Billy O'Brien, you're in your palatial estate today, and you're running around. You know when you're a kid growing up and you do a snow dance when you hear that there's snow coming because you want a snow day for school? Bill O'Brien's running around the house right now and throwing the salt over his shoulder saying, I'm saved, here we go, doing the Cabbage Patch Kid dance. He is thrilled because of the simple fact that the Astros ended up becoming a bigger story today. And he is genuflecting. Thank you, baseball. Thank you, baseball. Thank you, baseball. You took me off the hook, because he was going to be, if you look at a local radio station in Houston, morning drive, 6 to 10 a.m., what was the big topic today? O'Brien, what was he doing? Then the midday show, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., O'Brien, what is he doing? But right when it gets to 2 o'clock at afternoon drive, and when you get that announcement from the MLB, what the punitive actions were with the Houston Astros and eventually the Crane news, the story's no longer Bill O'Brien locally in Houston. The back page story tomorrow, the number one topic at the top of the hour on a Houston sports talk show, and also nationally as well, are the Houston Astros getting the hammer dropped on them from MLB. And now Luno and AJ Hinch out of a job. So Bill O'Brien is still probably upset today because his team blew a 24-0 lead and he made some dumb decisions in the process, but he was given the biggest lifesaver possible because of what another team in his city did and the fact that baseball waited until today to drop down the suspension there. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Chen and Sean, I'll get to you on the other side as we're going to continue the Astros and the Texans conversation. Also squeeze in some Packers-Seahawks talk as well. And Brian Jones going to join us coming up at 7:20 p.m. Eastern. A whole lot to do right here on a big Zach Gelb show on a Monday. Divisional weekend recap. Championship preview in the NCAA and more reaction to the Astros scandal.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.